Pray. We get ready to look at the Word. Lord, this morning we thank you for the opportunity to think about the year that has just passed or is very close to just passing, and also to think about the year that lies ahead. Help us to recognize that things are not falling apart, but they're falling into place. We thank you that you are a loving God, that you are a sovereign God, that we can trust you for each and everything that goes on not only in our own lives, but also in the world around us. We pray for those that are scared, that are frightened, that if they're not Christians, Lord, that you would save them, draw them to yourself. And Lord, if they are Christians, help them to remember the promises of your word. Lord, help us now as we look at your word together and consider some New Year's resolutions that will help us to get ready for the coming year, no matter what happens. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. As you know, 2018 was a very interesting year, amen? We all have some awareness of what has been going on in the world. It was a year of trade wars, government shutdowns, increased earthquakes, increased volcanic activity, the storybook marriage of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. I know some of you watched that. The winning of the Super Bowl by the Philadelphia Eagles, for those of you that watch that, the death of George Bush Sr., a former president, a fierce battle over the confirmation of Justice Kavanaugh, which gripped our nation for at least 2 or 3 weeks, the ongoing battle between the deep state and the Trump administration, huge swings, mostly up and down, but mostly down in the stock market, possible war with Russia over the Ukraine, the withdrawal of troops from Syria and Afghanistan, riots in France, the Mueller probe, the border wall issue with Mexico, caravans, events in the Middle East relating to Israel, and the list could just go on and on. We look at last year and recognize that a lot of things happened that were very troubling. Wars, rumors of wars, the continued breakdown of the American family, the opioid crisis, political issues, economic issues, all of these things have created an environment where people are asking the question, what is going on? What's wrong? What is going to happen next in our world? And those of us that are Christians, those of us who pay some attention to what is going on, those of us who have faith in Christ, who place their trust in the God that saved them and control their lives as well as the world around them and world history, take comfort in the fact that our Heavenly Father works out all things after the counsel of His own will, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. God is in control, and that is a good thing. Amen? Amen. Things are not falling apart. They are rather falling into place. All of us have made New Year's resolutions at one time or another in our lives. I'm sure that if I took a poll, you would tell me about some resolution that you made or resolutions, and maybe mention during the time that you talk about that you may not have followed through with them. Sometimes people say, well, we're going to go to the gym. Yeah, this is going to be the year. I'm going to really do it this year. I'm going to the gym. And I'm going to lose weight. By golly, I'm going to stop eating so much pizza, which is, by the way, what we're having for lunch. We're going to pray more. We're going to read the Bible more. We're going to start saving money. We're going to pay off our debts. We're going to be nicer to the dog or the cat or the goldfish or whatever we have in our house. We've all had New Year's resolutions of one kind or another. And it's very likely that for the most part, we've struggled with following through on keeping these resolutions. Happens to the best of us, doesn't it? This year, I'd like to submit to you a list of potential resolutions that we could all benefit from. These resolutions will help us as we seek to deal with what has happened in the past, specifically the past year, and the kinds of things that could possibly happen in the coming year. So this morning, I give you 5 such resolutions. The first resolution: the Bible tells us that we are to examine ourselves. The Bible does tell us as believers that we are to test ourselves to see if you are in the faith, examine yourselves, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. As believers, we are exhorted to do a self-examination in order to test the genuineness of our faith. James chapter 2, verses 14 to 26, underscores this point by stressing that a genuine faith in Christ does require the fruit of works, or the product of works. The Bible says that we are saved unto good works, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. These works are not added to faith in order to save us or to keep us saved. Rather, they are to be seen as the byproduct or the fruit of a genuine salvation. The expression, no fruit, no root, applies here. The question, if we were put on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict us, also applies. I would like to read something for you today that is not original with me, and it was written by a man named Octavius Winslow. He's not exactly a household name, maybe, for some people. He lived in the 1800s. He was a contemporary of Charles Spurgeon. He had served in both Baptist and Anglican churches during his long years of ministry. He was a person that was called the Pilgrim's Companion, and he was one of the foremost preachers in the 19th century. And he starts off by quoting 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, where he says, "Let a man examine himself." He says, "There is nothing clearer than this. That man must be a new creature if he to enjoy heaven. God could not make you happy unless he made you like himself. God must make you divine. He must give you new desires, new principles. He must create you as new creatures in Christ Jesus. And you must ascertain whether this great change has passed over you. The question must be, have I passed from death unto life? Has my heart been smitten for sin, broken by the Holy Spirit? Have I come as a poor guilty sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ? Do not take all of this for granted, but examine yourself and see whether your heart has been laid upon God's altar, whether it is a broken and contrite heart, which he will not despise. Examine yourself to ascertain the existence of love to God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a most certain truth that love is the fulfilling of the law. Enmity against God is a great characteristic of the carnal mind. Love to God is a great characteristic of the renewed mind. Do you feel that the name of Jesus creates a thrill of joy in your soul? Do you love God because he is holy and because he is righteous? Are you in love with his government and with his law? Is your delight, or is it your delight, and do you desire to be conformed to his teachings? Is it the supreme wish of your heart that God should rule you and that you should submit to him? Do not love him, or do you love him for sending Jesus, his unspeakable gift? Do you love God as your Father and because he sent his dear Son to bleed and die for you? Examine your own heart on these matters. Examine your heart also as to its governing principles. There are many deceitful things in the world. The wind is deceitful. The ocean is deceitful, but the most deceitful thing of all is the human heart. God searches the heart and looks at all the principles by which we are governed, and no service is acceptable in his sight which does not spring from right motives. And oh, what self-seeking, self-complacency, what desire for human approval is there in all our actions. That's pretty good. I mean, these old writers are probably quite a bit better than the ones we have in our own day and age. So that's Octavius Winslow. It gives us something to think about. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. And we have to keep that in mind. These words from Matthew emphasize the necessity of self-examination to be sure we are saved so that we will enter through that narrow gate that leads to eternal life. So that's our first resolution that I would give to you this morning. is that we are to examine ourselves, and that includes me as well. Number two, second resolution, seek God's face. Seek God's face. Now I'm going to have you turn in the Bible to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Second Chronicles chapter 7, I'm going to start at verse 11. I'm going to read all the way to verse 14. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord in the king's palace and successfully completed all that he had planned on doing in the house of the Lord and in his palace. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and I have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. If I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, and my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will hear and will heal their land. As we read this passage, it is clear that these words are written specifically to the people of Israel. However, we can take from this application and certain principles that we can apply to our own lives here in America and to our own spiritual walk here in the American church. Here in this passage, Solomon has finished building the temple. And the Lord has appeared to him at night, warning him about judgment for national sin that will come down the road. And it also tells him how Israel can be forgiven for such national sin. If I, the Lord, speaking of God, brings judgment upon Israel, then this is what you, Israel, need to do in order to be forgiven and to have such judgment removed. My people, this is God speaking, who are called by my name must humble themselves. They must pray. They must seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. If they do that, I, the Lord, will heal, will hear, and will ultimately heal their land. Personally, I'm convinced that a good case could be made that America lies under God's judgment. I don't think there's much debate that can be had about that. We are pretty much financially bankrupt, even though things seem fairly good right at the moment. Our military is very much overextended. There seems to be corruption and moral evil everywhere we turn. Even the American church is negatively influenced by the culture around us. American Christians in American churches can also be negatively impacted by such churches and by such a culture to the point where sinful attitudes and sinful behaviors could take root in our lives and take us to a very dark place, spiritually speaking. May 2019 be a year when we make the decision that we will seek God's face, that we will draw close to God, that we will pray, that we will humble ourselves and turn from whatever wicked ways may be in our lives. Maybe these are things that only we know about. Each one of us is in a different place, probably, on some level, spiritually speaking. But I suspect that we could all benefit from a closer walk with our God and with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. James chapter 4, verses 7 to 10, the Bible says, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hearts, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. So that's the second resolution, seeking God's face. The first is to examine ourselves, and the second is to seek God's face. The third resolution is to wake up. Is to wake up. I'm not talking about coffee, but I know that we all know what that is. There are many places in the Bible where we are told that we need to wake up, at least as far as spiritually speaking is concerned. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. He's talking about people that are spiritually asleep. Luke chapter 21, verse 36, but stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. 1 Thessalonians 5, 6, so then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober, meaning be serious. Luke 21, 34, but watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day will come upon you suddenly like a trap. Colossians 4, 2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Finally, Romans 13, 1, besides this, you know the time that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. And Paul here is saying this to the Romans. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The final culmination of our salvation, the time when we'll stand before the Lord with glorified bodies, is closer and closer and closer with each passing day, with each passing hour, with each passing moment, and with each passing second. It's drawing closer, so we need to be awake. I do think that we need to be aware of what is going on in the world around us. I talk to some people, say, man, I don't have time to watch all that stuff or pay attention to the world scene. I'm too busy. I got things I need to do. I go to work, I come home, I eat, I go to bed. That's about it. Don't ask any more than that out of me. But, you know, I think it's good to be aware. It doesn't mean we have to be a news hound like myself or Gail, you know, always looking at things and keeping track of things. But I think it's important that we are aware of what's happening in our culture and to pray for our culture, to pray for the people of our culture. What would it be like to be a non-Christian and to look at the world scene and suddenly get scared? That happens. People do that. I talk to people at work and they say, man, I tell you, I don't go to church or anything, but man, what is wrong with people? It seems like it's getting out of control. That's an opportunity to share. I said, well, you know, we have a sin nature. It's called sin. We've turned away from God. Oh, and so then that leads possibly and hopefully into other discussions. You know, I'm bivocational. I work at a counseling center. Lots of opportunity to talk to people. I do have to pick my spots because of the way they got things set up. This fits in well with our first resolution where we are told to examine ourselves. We have to ask the question, are we spiritually asleep? If we are, we must wake up. We must be alert to what is going on in the world around us. We must be alert to what is happening in our own hearts. We must wake up because every day that passes is a day closer to seeing our Lord face to face. We want to hear those words, well done, thy good and faithful servant, as opposed to the other words, depart from me, for I never knew you. The second coming of Christ draws ever more closely. The hour of our death may soon be upon us. Not that we're wishing that, but it's coming. So whether it is by the second coming or whether it's by our death, we will be standing before Christ. You know, I just read to you, I won't have you turn back to it, but 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, we talk about the fact that we are children of God, and such we are. And that there'll be a day when we'll stand before Him and see Him as He really is. So what does the Bible tell us to do? Keep our hearts, our hope fixed on Him, our minds fixed on Him, and to also purify ourselves just as He is pure. That means we have to deal with sin in our lives. We all have something, right? The whole point of the Christian life is that once we get saved is that we grow. He didn't save us to have us sit, soak, and sour, waiting for the rapture. He saved us so we'd become more like Christ and be able to share the gospel with other people. And the truth of the matter is, we all know that we're the happiest when we're walking with the Lord. So let's be happy and let's wake up. So we need to examine ourselves. We need to seek God's face. We need to wake up. Fourth resolution. Fear not. Fear not. I'm going to borrow from someone today. I'm borrowing from John Piper. John Piper, most of you have heard his name. He wrote a letter to his church in 2001, and he gives 13 reasons not to be afraid. I just ran across this, so I'm going to use it, just like I used Octavius Winslow. Number one, 13 reasons not to be afraid. We will not die apart from God's gracious decree for his children. In other words, you're not going to die until it's time to die. Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 to 30. He quotes, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But even the hairs of your head are all numbered." All the hairs of our head are numbered. He knows everything about us. The hour of our death has already been preordained. The hour of our birth was already preordained, too. It talks about that in Psalm 139. So we will not die apart from God's gracious decree for his children. We're going to die when it's God's timing for us to die. Number two, curses and divinations do not hold sway against God's people. Curses and divinations do not hold sway against God's people. Nobody can put a curse on us because we're the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. Numbers 23:23, "For there is no enchantment against Jacob, nor divination against Israel. Now it shall be said of Jacob and Israel, what has God wrought?" Number three, and this is probably a fairly relevant one, "The plans of terrorists and hostile nations do not succeed apart from our gracious God." In other words, terrorists can't do anything to our country unless God permits it. Terrorists can't blow us up unless God allows it. Hostile nations will not conquer America unless it is ordained by God. Isaiah 8, verses 9 to 10. "Be broken, ye peoples, be shattered. Give ear, all you far countries. Strap on your armor and be shattered. Strap on your armor and be shattered. Take counsel together, but it will come to nothing. Speak a word, but it will not stand, for God is with us." That doesn't necessarily mean that God's with America, but if you're one of his children, he's with you. And if you get caught up in combat or fighting or a terrorist attack and you die, well, that's all part of God's gracious decree, right? Number four, man cannot harm us beyond God's gracious will for us. Nobody can do anything to us unless God allows it. So sometimes we forget that and we want to retaliate. We're not supposed to do that either. Psalm 118, verse 6, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" So we need to keep that in mind. Nobody can do anything to us unless God allows it. Number five, God promises to protect his own from all that is not finally good for them. He will protect his own from all that is not finally good for them. Sometimes he allows us to go through bad stuff because there's something we have to learn from that. But if it's not going to be ultimately good for us, he won't allow it to harm us. Psalm 91:14, "Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name." God knows your name. He knows everything about you. You're in the palm of his hand if you're one of his children. Number six, God promises to give us all that we need to honor, obey, and enjoy him forever. Philippians 4:19, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." Number seven, God is never taken off guard. Psalm 121, verse 4, "Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber or sleep." We don't have to tell God to wake up. He's already awake. He knows what's going on. Number eight, God will be with us, help us, and uphold us in trouble. Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." That's God speaking to his children. Number nine, terrors will come. Some of us will die, but not a hair of our heads will perish. We're only going to die if we're supposed to die. Luke 21:18, "But not a hair of your head will perish." Number 10, nothing befalls God's own but in its appointed hour. John 1:30, "So they were seeking to arrest him, but no one laid a hand upon him because his hour had not come," and not yet come. And this is talking about Jesus. They thought, yeah, we're going to arrest him, man. We're going to take care of him right now. But nothing happened because of his time had not yet come. Number 11, when God Almighty is your help, none can harm you beyond what he decrees. Romans 8:31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? That's a good one. You ever get discouraged? Read Romans chapter 8, verses 28 to 39. That's a good one. Number 12, God's faithfulness is based on the firm value of his name, not the fickle measure of our obedience. 1 Samuel 12, verses 20 to 22. For Samuel said to the people, do not be afraid, you have done all this evil, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And do not turn aside after the empty things that cannot profit or deliver, for they are empty. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you a people for himself. If you're one of God's children and you sin, God doesn't just abandon you. Remember Hebrews 12? It talks about the discipline of the Lord. Sometimes he puts us through some things. We get disciplined, but he always draws us back. Number 13. The Lord our protector is great and awesome. Nehemiah 4:14. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your home. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. So there's lots of verses, and I borrowed these from John Piper, but they're actually in the Bible. You can look them up on your own. They're all telling us not to be afraid. Well, why would they say that to us? Because of God and his commitment to his people. Because of God's sovereignty over his creation and all events that occur within it. It includes our country, America. It includes whatever's going to happen with Donald Trump. It includes the weather. It includes volcanoes. It includes military action. It includes politicians. Yes, even politicians. It includes earthquakes, economies, people's behavior, the behavior of our enemies, etc., etc. So what do? We examine ourselves. We seek God's face. We wake up. We fear not. And finally, number 5, I said, wow, Pastor, we're getting out early today. Is this a sign of things to come? Probably not. Have hope for the future. 5th resolution. That's the last one. There's more, of course, we could put in, but I only put in 5. Have hope for the future. So if you look at the world from a purely human perspective, we see lots of reasons to be afraid. We had a prayer request brought to our Sunday school class today about a lady who... one day the light apparently just came on, and she looked at the world around her. Maybe she was watching Fox News or something. I don't know what she was doing. And she kind of freaked out, and she had a panic attack, and she got in her car, and she was somewhere up north, and she drove south to her home rather rapidly and is really, really upset about the world. And it's like the light came on. I don't know where she's been, but maybe finally things kind of sunk through. So if you look at the world from a purely human perspective, yeah, we could be afraid. We could be. But some of these things have been mentioned already. 2019 looks like a rough year. If the economy doesn't settle down, politically, if things don't settle down, which I suspect they won't, militarily, and maybe even spiritually, as we consider the hostility demonstrated by some towards the Christian faith, I don't know if I have the number right or not, but I think it said 100 people die a day, are martyred for their Christian faith across the world. It's not happening in America, but there's no reason why it couldn't if the wrong people get in power. No human being, no human government, no world government, no world leader or leaders are able to save humanity. Donald Trump isn't going to do it, I'm sorry. True peace will not come until Jesus comes. You know, they look for peace, they cry for peace, but there is no peace. But there will be a day when the Prince of Peace will be here, and then there will be peace. The Bible says he rules with a rod of iron. I don't think anybody is going to try to overthrow that government, nor will they try to, you know, impeach him or anything like that. We are not to love the world, the Bible says. We're not to love the things of the world, because to do so means that the love of the Father is not in us, 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. Plus the fact that the world is passing away anyway. it's all going down, isn't it? You know, if we pin our hopes on human government, pin our hopes on other human beings, we're going to be disappointed severely. We pin our hopes on God, things are going to be good. Things are going to be very good. The world system is going to go down, and it is going to go down hard. But Jesus is coming to judge the wicked and to rule and to reign and to place all things under his feet. That includes us, and that's a good thing. Read Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. We are going to be all right. Isn't that good news? Even if we get killed. Well, they might kill us. Well, they might. Where are you going to go then? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. It's going to be good. We're going to be all right even if we end up dying, because we will be with Jesus. As I said, absent from the body, but present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8. J.C. Ryle. And you know that I like J.C. Ryle, so you're not going to get through a sermon without hearing from J.C. Ryle at least once. He says, let us remember that the eye of our loving Savior is upon us morning, noon, and night. He will never suffer us to be tempted above that which we are able to bear. He can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, for he has suffered himself being tempted. He knows what battles and conflicts are, for he himself was assaulted by the prince of this world. Having such a high priest, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Let us remember that thousands of soldiers before us have fought the same battle that we are fighting, and come off more than conquerors through him that loved them. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, and so also may we. Christ's arm is quite as strong as ever, and Christ's heart is just as loving as ever. He that saved men and women before us is one who never changes. He is able to save to the uttermost all who come to God by him. Then let us cast doubts and fears away. Let us follow them who through faith and patience inherit the promises and are waiting for us to join them. Finally, let us remember that the time is short and the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. A few more battles and the last trumpet shall sound, and the Prince of Peace shall come to reign on a renewed earth. A few more struggles and conflicts, and then we shall bid an eternal goodbye to warfare and to sin, to sorrow, and to death. Then let us fight on to the last and never surrender. Thus says the captain of the salvation, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Revelation 21:7. So this morning we took a brief look at some resolutions that perhaps could help us in the year to come. Things like examining ourselves, seeking God's face, waking up, fearing not, and finally having hope for the future. We trust and pray that as we put these into effect, that God will bless us, and we'll have a great 2019. Shall we pray? Lord, this morning we want to thank you for the opportunity to be here. We want to thank you for the opportunity to look at your word and to consider some principles from your word. We recognize that we live in difficult times, and obviously, even as Christians, we have some concerns about that. And Father, help us to place those concerns with you and motivate us to live a life that is pleasing to you and is helpful to other people. Lord, help us all to have a good year, 2019, but especially spiritually speaking. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.